I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. You know, for those of you who aren't in America, here in America, we actually take a day called Thanksgiving Day, where we, you know, take time to remember God's goodness and just to thank Him for all that He has done for us. You know, especially for the past year, how He has been good to us and all the blessings that He has given us. So, in light of that day, that celebration, which was actually yesterday, Thursday, November 22nd in 2007, I want to share a passage regarding giving God thanks. And that passage is actually found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Once again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And let me just read you, a few verses up and just read you the whole passage where it says, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecy, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." Now these are, quick exhortations that Paul gave, because he's basically writing the letter to the Thessalonica church, and he's close to ending his letter, so he just wants to give quick exhortations to the to what the church could do or should be doing, and these are it's just bam bam bam, pray always, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything, and in everything give thanks. And I just want to focus on the 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you." So it's an exhortation that Paul wants us to always remember, is that in everything that we do, whatever happens to us, whether good or bad, we should always give God thanks, because this there are great spiritual blessings that occurs when we give God thanks. There's spiritual maturity that occurs also when we give God thanks. Now, one of the questions that people may ask is that, okay, if life is going well and if everything is going is good, then of course I could give God thanks. But what happened if the past year wasn't so nice to me, or circumstances and maybe even personal relationships weren't so good? How do I give God thanks for all these things, these bad things that happened to me? Well, in order to do that, we have to flip our Bible back, a few books, actually back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And, knowing this truth in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, will help us to do what Paul says, which is in everything, whether good or bad, we can give God thanks. And it's in Romans 8, verse 28. Let me read to you what it says. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." This is actually a very heavy verse, but it'll be an encouraging verse to all Christians, especially for those who love God and to those who know their God. What Paul is saying, that all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, all things including means all things. It includes all the good things that happen, but it also includes all the bad things that happen to us. Whether good or bad, God is still in control. Nothing will catch Him by surprise. God won't say, this disaster happened, I don't know what to do. Instead, God knows what's going to happen, and God knows what is happening in our lives. And yet, what He is doing is that for those who love Him and for those who are called according to His purpose, He is basically setting the stage up for us so that even all the bad things will result in good for us. Even all the tough times that we went through, even all the hardship that we went through in the past year, all these things are strategically allowed by God for us so that it will result in our good. That is why the God of the Bible is a good God. The God of the Bible is a great God. He loves us. And all the things that we went through, all the bad things that we went through, all the good things that we went through, is his way of sort of molding and shaping us so that we can result in good for us, so that we can mature spiritually. I'm not saying that all the bad things is caused by God, because many times of the bad things are caused by men's sin or men's disobedience to God. But even those things, God can work for the good of those who love Him. That's why God is great, because He's not limited to our mistakes. He's not limited to even our rebellion, but He can work those things for the good of those who love Him. That when we turn, and when we, one of the calls of John the Baptist and one of the calls of Jesus Christ Himself is to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. When we repent, we turn around from the bad things that we're doing, or from the wrong things that we're doing, and we turn around to God and focus on Him and do what He wants. When all the bad things that we did before then, before we repented, are not catching God off guard, are not too hard for God to redeem, but instead He, all things work together for the good of those who love Him. So whether good or bad, if we look in the past year, all the good things that happened to us, of course we can thank God for that. But even all the bad things that happened to us, we can still thank God for for those, because we know that our God is a great God, and we know that our God is a good God, and He can and He will turn all those bad things into something that is beautiful within us, something that's precious within us. In the Bible there is a verse that says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And that's something that we should always remember, that God wants the best for us, and God has our good in mind. And it's always great to be on God's side. And one great thing about giving thanks is that it actually helps us, prevents us from complaining and griping about the things about our circumstances, especially griping against God and complaining against God. Actually, this is something that really irritates God and really irks God. And we can see that in the Old Testament, where when God took the nation of Israel out of bondage from Egypt, and then He was on the way to the promised land, on the way the people actually griped and complained to God, and which really, really irritated Him. So, but giving thanks, gives us a, as we keep on giving thanks, we will less likely to complain and gripe about our current situation, because we're praising God and we're giving Him thanks. Let's turn to a passage in the Old Testament regarding not complaining to God. In Numbers chapter 11, actually that whole chapter is a good example, but we'll just pinpoint some verses, and let me just read to you from Numbers 11, verse 1 through 7. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and His anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. And it goes on and explains what the manna is. Well, if we stop and think about this, this is basically the people complaining and griping about what God did for them and what God is doing for them. But this is really amazing, because if we read a few verses in the Old Testament, or in Numbers, and actually in Genesis and Exodus, we can see that actually God provides them food every day. They don't go around sowing and reaping. They don't go around hunting for meat, but God actually provides manna for them. I believe in one verse it says it's the food of the angels, food from heaven, that God provides manna for them every day. Well, actually 6 days, and they're supposed to gather double portion on the sixth day, so that they can rest on the Sabbath. But this is basically free food that comes directly from God, and yet the people are not satisfied, and yet they are still griping because of a lack of thanksgiving to God, because they don't give thanks in everything that it, this complaining spirit actually, you know, seeped into the entire group and the entire nation, where they started complaining, and then it, you know, complaining against God is really something that irritates God, and it displeases God. So if we jump down to verse 31, we can see what happens. You know, the people were griping that, you know, having free food is not enough, and they want to eat meat. So let's go to Numbers 11:31. Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving. So we can see that, you know, God did hear them complaining and griping, and God answered their prayer by giving them meat, giving them quails. And yet, while they're still, you know, celebrating in their desire for meat, God actually sent a plague to them, and just to, you know, sort of remind them and to tell them that complaining against God is not a good thing. And it, you know, we can sit here in, you know, 2007, close to 2008, and sort of like say, how could the Israelites do that? How could they complain about free food? And yet, if we see in our lives, how many times have we complained to God, or how many times have we complained against God for all the wonderful blessings that He has given us? I believe one of the reasons that we do that, we ourselves do that, I believe one of the reasons that the nation of Israel did that a long time ago is because we did not give God thanks. We forgot giving Him thanks. We forgot giving Him the glory that He deserves. You know, we forgot all the blessings that He has given us by, you know, during the time of Israel, by saving them from the bondage of Egypt and giving them every day free food, manna from heaven. But you know, likewise, if we forget all the blessings that God has given us this past year or for our entire life, then it's easy for us to start complaining and griping about other things that's going wrong in our lives. And you know, once again, as I said, complaining and griping against God is not a very good thing, and it really, really irritates, as it says in Numbers 11:1, it displeases the Lord. So giving thanks actually prevents us from starting forgetting God's goodness and starting to complain against Him or to gripe against Him. And another good thing that giving thanks to God is actually, it keeps us humble. You know, if we give thanks to God, we are recognizing that it is God who provided for us. It is God who we rely upon, and it's not our own abilities and not our own wisdom that provided us all the great things and all the good things that we are enjoying. But instead, we're giving thanks to God because He is our provider. He is the awesome God who loves us so much that gave us everything that we now have. And that could be found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 10 to 18. Once again, it's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 to 18. Let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgment, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Deuteronomy is basically Moses' last speech to the children of Israel. You know, he knows that he's going to die really soon. So, you know, he basically just recounts what God has did for the people of Israel, and sort of give them warnings and exhortations and encouragements to keep on following God. And during this this last speech of Moses, he's talking to them about, you know, when God fulfilled his promises to you, and when you enter into the promised land, then you should not forget him. You know, when you start sowing and reaping and you know, gaining riches for yourself, you know, building beautiful houses for yourself, you should not forget that it is God who saved you out of bondage. First of all, it is God who protected you through your wanderings in the wilderness, and still it is also God who gave you water when you need water, who gave you food when you needed food, and it is also God who gave you, in verse 18, who gives you the power to get wealth. You know, so having a heart of thanksgiving in us is a good way to prevent us from getting being too self-centered or self-reliant, thinking that, you know, it's my wisdom and my abilities that allow me to gain this wealth, or allow me to live so richly and so wonderful houses that I lived in. That's verse 17. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And Moses is basically warning them not to do that, because, you know, in the pride of our heart, it's easy for us to start saying it's all about me. It's my hard work. It's my superior wisdom that gained me all these things. And it's sort of like a lack of thanksgiving to God, a lack of recognizing God that will allow this kind of pride and this kind of self-centeredness and this kind of self-reliance to creep into our thinking and into our thoughts. So giving thanks is actually a very good way to keep us, first of all, humble and not getting too prideful. And it's also, you know, because when we give thanks, we actually recognize that it is God who gives us the power to do all the things that we do. It is God who helps us when we cry out to him. And also, in giving thanks, it prevents us from going to the opposite end and into complaining about everything, you know, in our lives, from griping against all the bad things that have happened in our lives, and griping against, you know, even some of the good things that happen in our lives, and griping against God and who he is, as we see in Numbers 11, chapter 1. Griping and complaining against God actually is a irritant to God, and it really, really displeases him. So giving thanks is actually a good balance from preventing us from being too prideful and too self-centered, and also it prevents us from complaining and griping about everything in our lives. That's why the Apostle Paul says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, whether good things or bad things, you know, whether it's things that we like or whether things that we don't really like, you know, we still give thanks to God, because it, you know, keeps us focused not on our circumstances and not on the things that's going around us, but it keeps us focused on who God is and on how good and how great he is and how much he loves us. So in light of the Thanksgiving Day in America, and just, you know, celebrating this day of Thanksgiving, I just want to encourage us to remember 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where in everything, whether good or bad, you know, whether things we like or whether things we don't like, we give thanks to God. So let's close this time in prayer. Lord, I thank you for just reminding us, Lord, that you are a good God and you are a great God. And Lord, to remind us that in everything we should give you praise, we should give you thanks. Lord, it's not because of how smart we are or how hard we work, that we are able to achieve anything, but instead, Lord, it's because of your grace and your mercy towards us, and you know, it's also because of your of you giving us the power and the wisdom to do things that we are able to enjoy this life. And Lord, so I just give you thanks, and Lord, I give you thanks for everything that happened to me in the past year. And actually, I pray for all my listeners, Lord, that we give thanks to you for everything, whether good or bad, whether things that we like or whether things that we don't really like. Lord, we give you thanks because you said in everything we give you thanks. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, for those who are going through hardship right now, and Lord, for those who are suffering right now, Lord, that they will be reminded of Romans 8:28, where all things work together for the good of those who love you. And Lord, that as they are people who love you, Lord, that you will give them the assurance, Lord, that you are in the midst of them, and you are going through with them in all the hardships. And Lord, that you promise them that all things will work together for our good. Lord, thank you for just giving us this time just to reflect on your goodness and your greatness. Lord, I thank you for the greatest thing that you have ever done for us, and it is to die on the cross for our sins, exchanging our wickedness, our penalties, Lord, the penalty of sin is death, Lord, therefore exchanging our death, Lord, for your righteousness, for your life. Lord, that's the best thing that you have ever done for us, and if you don't do anything else for us, just doing that is good reason enough for us to give you thanks for the rest of our lives, in fact, for the rest of eternity. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, that's not the only thing you have done for us, but Lord, each and every day, Lord, you bless us with blessings that comes from heaven. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for being my God. I thank you, Lord, for being our God. I thank you, Lord, that we can always run to you and you will not reject us. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.